Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's letter to Titus.
Let us be attentive.
Titus, my son, the saying is sure. I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. These are excellent and profitable to men. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels over the law, for they are unprofitable and futile. As for a man who is divisive, after admonishing him once or twice, knowing that such a person is perverted and sinful, he is self-condemned. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to apply themselves to good deeds so as to help those who have urgent need and not to be unfruitful. All those who are with me send greetings unto you. Greet those who love us in the faith, and grace be with you all. Amen.
Peace be with you, the readers.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Wisdom, arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be with you all.
And with your spirit.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Let us be attentive.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
The Lord said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven."
Peace be with you who proclaim the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the Summer Olympics every 4 years, except in this anomalous year of 2020, the Olympic torch begins
in Olympia, Greece, and is passed from person to person to person in a long, unbroken chain until it reaches its destination, which is the host city, where the very same flame from thousands of miles away ignites the cauldron at the start of the Olympic Games. The very flame lit in Olympia, Greece, travels through land, sea, and air in order to reach its destination. It even traverses time, because the Olympic flame at the modern Olympic Games connects the events of today to the very first Olympics in 776 BC. This is the symbolism and the significance of the Olympic flame. Now on this day, brothers and sisters, we commemorate the 630 holy and God-bearing fathers who gathered in the city of Chalcedon in the year 451 AD at the Fourth Ecumenical Council, where they defended the Orthodox and apostolic faith against the false teachings of the heretics. In brief, these holy fathers upheld the eternal faith and absolute foundational belief that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. Their exact words, in translation from Greek to English, are the following. And so, this was their declaration, their proclamation of faith at the end of the council. And so, following the holy fathers before us, we confess one and the same, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all teach in unity that he is perfect in Godhead and he is perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man. Like us in all things except sin, begotten before the ages of the Father in the Godhead, the same one in these last days, and for our salvation, born of Mary the Virgin Theotokos in the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, unique, recognized in two natures, unconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, the difference of natures being by no means taken away because of the union, but rather the distinctive character of each nature being preserved, combining in one person, one hypostasis, not divided or separated into two persons, but one and the same Son and only begotten God, Word, Lord Jesus Christ. As the prophets of old and the Lord Jesus Christ himself have taught us in this regard, and as the creed of the fathers has passed on to us, this is the faith of the fathers. A beautiful dogmatic declaration. What we have here is exact and precise theology, employing, of course, even imperfect human words to articulate and affirm the impenetrable mystery of the incarnation, the correct and orthodox understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And this was not something novel, invented at the Fourth Ecumenical Council, but as they themselves declared, this is the faith of the fathers. This is the light of truth, godliness, and piety, like a torch passed from one generation to the next. In a sermon delivered on Holy Pentecost, Gregory Palamas, in the 14th century, explained holy tradition with these words. The promise was now fulfilled, and the Holy Spirit descended. He shone round about the holy disciples and with divine power kindled them like lamps. Or rather, he revealed them as heavenly lights set above the whole world who had the word of eternal life. And through them, he illuminated all the earth. If from one burning lamp someone lights another, then another from that one, and so on in succession, he has light continuously. In the same way, Gregory Palamas continues, through the apostles ordaining their successors, and these successors ordaining others, and so on, the grace of the Holy Spirit is passed on through all generations and enlightens all who obey their spiritual shepherds and teachers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must understand that the torch ignited by the coming of the Son of God in the flesh has been handed down continuously for 2,000 years to us. The fire and the light of the gospel has passed from hand to hand, from Jesus to the apostles, to the bishops, to you. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze," in Luke 12:49. What does this mean except that the fire of truth, the fire of the gospel, the fire of the love of God, the fire of his commandments has been cast upon the church, upon each and every one of us, and he wants to see the entire earth ablaze with this fire. But this can only happen if we first realize just what kind of torch we have inherited, and then light the hearts of those around us on fire with the light of the gospel and the love of Christ. If you are the light of the world, as Jesus just said, then that light, be that light. Pass on the torch of the holy tradition of the church to your children, to your friends, to your colleagues, to strangers, because every single human being is in dire need of this fire. For it is the fire that illumines the way to eternal life. One day, we've had a few baptisms here in the last week, which has been beautiful because, of course, we couldn't for a few months, and we must continue this. My fervent prayer is that we have at least 50 baptisms and chrismations each year in our parish. We need to have this as our priority, because we live in the midst of a dying world in absolute need of Christ and salvation. And we have the awesome and serious responsibility to baptize all nations as the Lord commanded. We have been told by him to do so. In the book of Deuteronomy, and we read from it just last night in Great Vespers for this Feast of the Fathers, Moses said to the Israelites, the people of God, "May the Lord God of our fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are." May it be so, brothers and sisters. May we pass the torch of our saving faith onto thousands of others in order that we all reach our final destination, which is the kingdom of God. To whom be the power and the glory forevermore. Amen. We stand at this time.